Alrighty, let's rock this thing. 3, 2, 1. Good afternoon. Today is Friday, April the 26th, 114th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Simple Country Therapist. Yes, he's still simple and he's still in therapy, Lou Quimby.
Heavy on the simple.
I was thinking heavy on the still in therapy.
Oh, yeah. No, that's ongoing for life. Doesn't stop, right?
Yeah.
Always a lifelong learner, let me tell you.
Oh, I thought you were always practicing. But...
I'm practicing. I got it right the other night once.
Really?
I blew up at somebody and they cut one of my script wires, bless their heart. Yeah, so I'm a better man today.
I can tell.
Because we both talked.
Yeah.
Got it straightened out. I repaired my bad end of things, and they repaired their bad end of things, and now we're getting on with it.
Does it go under the snap snarl?
Yeah, it was a little snap snarl there.
Yeah.
I haven't done that for years.
Really?
That was an old...
Let's go out in the parking lot during the break.
It was an old sequestering script wire.
Yeah. Oh. Well, we shouldn't analyze the analyst. That would become very redundantly redundant.
No.
Good.
Yes. No, go.
To break we go.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say. It's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Lou Quimby, but before we do, our quote that triggers the entire program.
Actually, I have two. You can pick what you would like.
Oh, great. We'll have a bipolar program.
Well, there you go. One from Edward de Bono, who was an American psychologist and a writer, who said, "If you wait for opportunities to occur, you will be one of the crowd." And another one from Anonymous. If your ship doesn't come in, swim out to it.
Now, that's an interesting, cool one, isn't it?
Don't just do something. Stand there. No, don't just stand there. Do something.
There you go.
Yeah.
How many people, percentage-wise, because you've known a fair amount.
Six.
Fair
enough. Next question.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Will embrace change.
Change is easy. Resistance is hard.
Okay.
Change is easy. Resistance is hard.
Embracing change is easy?
Yeah. Resistance is hard. And resistance depends upon what you're attached to psychologically.
Now, how is...
Not physically.
Right.
Not socially.
But how is... One of the biggest things that I've heard over the years that is difficult for most people, other than public speaking... is dealing with risk and change.
Yeah, because of the resistance.
So it's not the change.
No, it's the resistance.
It's the reaction to the change.
Yeah, right. Remember the old Japanese adage, the nail that stands up gets pounded down. So if you're changing, that means you're going to make yourself a visible target to somebody about something. So go back to childhood and look at what kids do. If kids... do something different or against what mom and dad's value structure and feelings are, and they stand up, they'll get hammered down. So kid gets angry at his mother for some reason or another, legitimate, and Daddy says, don't you dare be angry at your mother. Your mother's a saint. She takes care of all of us. So now this kid can't get angry, won't, shouldn't, not authorized to get angry at his mother. Well, mom is the image for little boys to make their decisions about how to get along with women. And he's going to be married soon, right? 10 years, that's soon. 15 years, that's soon. So he can't get angry at women. So he turns that off at 6, 7. And he's a perfect little angel at home. And then he gets married. Now he's got a problem. Because one of the questions I always ask people at the intake interview is, what do you get mad at her about? What do you get mad at him about? And those people that profess to be raised by Norma and Norman Rockwell go, oh, we don't get angry. I go, really? Because everybody gets angry. Everybody is irritating. You get married and all of a sudden you're sharing a bath and a bedroom and a kitchen and a garage and a car. You start sharing those things. Well, now you're bumping into each other's personal space, one, and two, each other's personal habits. Don't do the dishes that way. Do them this way. Really? I've been doing dishes at home for the last 10 years. What do you mean, do them your way? I know how to do dishes. No, you don't. But we don't get angry at each other.
Folding the towels.
Folding the towels. Yeah. Oh.
Toilet paper.
You know, after 47 years of being married, 2 years ago, I started folding the towels in the bathroom.
Was this a breakthrough?
Well, I just did it voluntarily.
Oh. It was.
It was for me. Yeah. I went, oh, okay, I'm not going to fight this anymore.
The pile in the corner? But had just been there long enough?
That tells you as much about Lucy as it does about me. Because for 40 plus years, she's been very patient about those things. So now, I just fold the towels. And it's interesting because it was smooth before, and it's smooth now. And it's now something I don't have to think about anymore. Should I fold the towels or not? Oh, nuts. I'm not going to fold the towels. I don't do that anymore. I just fold the towels and get on with it. Right?
Somebody
so
made
it clears up a lot of...
Somebody made an interesting comment in the last week or so about doing the dishes.
Yeah.
Do I do the dishes or not? Do I do the fork that I use for the butter on the toast? And it's the only thing.
Lick it off. Stick
or
it away.
Leave it.
Nobody will know.
Some of those types of things. Interesting for me that it was even that it was a thought process. I mean, whether I do them or not.
Right. Could I? Should I? Would I?
Just yes or no, and that's it.
Yeah.
Now I'm getting smoke signals from the room that I don't do that often enough, so okay. I'll go with that one. However, it's just...
It's the arrows bouncing off the glass that bother me, not the smoke signals.
Oh, yes. Okay, fine. You haven't seen the envelope then waiting for you out of the car.
No. Dear
but,
Brian,
but, yeah.
And the horse you rode
no,
in on.
This would be dear Lou.
And oh, oh.
Yeah. Oh, no. Oh.
Check the windshield.
Must be commercial break time.
Check the windshield before I leave.
Oh, KINS, News and Information Times, 318. Plus one, it's 319. We'll be back with more from Luke.
We certainly will.
Sunshine for Humboldt. For years, the Eel River was the state's second largest source of steelhead and third largest of salmon. A UC Davis study estimates it once produced more than 1 million fish annually. This has been replaced by unpredictability. Last year saw a good salmon run, but some years it is very small. Several causes are cited, but all agree the Eel River ecosystem has been degraded. Now a task force of volunteers has come together to pinpoint the reasons and work to restore the watershed. The Eel River Task Force consists of public agencies, Indian tribes, conservation organizations, and others committed to establishing a scientific baseline of the causes of the decline and what might be done to reverse it. The members agree, no finger pointing. A plan of solutions must fulfill legal responsibilities to protect endangered species while also respecting private property rights. It will be a big job, but a healthy Eel River is worthwhile for all Humboldt County. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the betterment of our communities.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:24. We survived the commercial break.
Time flies like an arrow. Fruit flies like a banana.
You've used that before. I mean, the novelty is now gone. Well, okay.
No, he...
The
he
new likes, guy hasn't
the
heard that.
The new guy hasn't heard
yeah,
it.
Yeah. I got fruit flies on my banana. And he... You know, the impressive thing, though, is he got it on the first time.
Time flies like an arrow. Yeah. Yes, I appreciate that. Sharp fellow.
Yeah. How do people learn to recognize opportunity?
Well, that's interesting. Eric Byrne, the father of transactional analysis, said that people basically change their scripts three ways. One is a lover, in the ordinary sense. The other one is a wise person, like a mom, a dad, a therapist, a rabbi, a priest, a minister, a book, a poem. Radio show, just kidding. And the other one is being...
Hey!
And the third one is being thrown against the wall. Now, being thrown against the wall varies from person to person depending upon their scripting and background. Some kids, if they've had a kind of an ordinary, quiet childhood, getting fired from their first job at 18 may be experienced as being thrown against the wall. Other people... like, say, some alcoholics may have a $5 million business and they have to lose their business and then their wife and then their children and then their car and then their clothes and they wind up drooling on Second Street trying to get something to eat at the Mission. And that may be their experience of being thrown against the wall, losing everything except their life. And then maybe they pay attention now to what alcohol has done for them and the choices that they have made. Because alcohol isn't the only choice. They make choices about their wife, their family, the business, the rest of it. So some people have to lose everything to get thrown against the wall. And some people can experience being thrown against the wall with a smaller thing. Team captain on the football high school team. Loses the big game, you know that fumbles the pass on the winning pass on the goal line, right? And that may stick with him for the rest of his life. He picks up a nickname called Old Fumbles, and now everybody calls him Old Fumbles every time they see him. But that could drive him out of town, among other things, right? So opportunities are basically what people make of them. People get themselves into all kinds of difficulties, and they think that the difficulty is a problem, as opposed to what opportunity does a difficulty generate. So if somebody gets a divorce, for example, they may think of that as a tragedy rather than as an opportunity for a new direction. But a lot of people, instead of taking a new direction, they hire the same thing. They get married to the same type of person. Same song, different words. Same content, different rapping. Because I've known people that have been married four or five times that it's the same song, different words. So they don't...
Consciously?
Not consciously. No. But they don't see it as an opportunity to examine what happened. They just close the divorce book, put that behind them, and then blindly go forward without any examination of how this happened. Lots of people don't like to look at their part in it, particularly if they have any self-righteous streak about, I've been good, it's not my fault, it's your fault, I blame you, and I'm angry about it. The big three, anger, blame, and criticism. That always stops self-examination. Guaranteed 100% anger, blame, and criticism.
No need.
I blame you, right? Well, there it is. If somebody has an affair, they've been married 20 years, and he goes out and has an affair, and she doesn't know about it until she finds out the hard way. Well, after 20 years, if I ask her what her part in this is, she gets grossly indignant and walks out as though she didn't have any part in this relationship. So I'm not as much interested in the affair as what it is they did not talk about for 5, 6, 8, 9 years. And that's the stuff that gets buried, and then people make their own decisions about stuff. I had it when I was brand new at the Humboldt Family Service Center. Had a guy come in on Friday afternoon and said that he got home for lunch that day and he found a note from his wife saying, she's left, taking half the savings, half the checking. My lawyer will talk to your lawyer. Thank you very much. Bye. Love, Myrna. And he wanted to know what happened. So we talked a little bit, and it turned out that he was the king of the road. He made all the decisions about everything, blah, 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 blah. And she was just the good little girl who did what she was told. Well, what happened was she had finished her scripted job description. That is, raise the kids, get them through college. And she did. And they graduated Thursday. Friday morning, she was out of there. Cold. And he didn't have a clue because he was not receptive to anything that she might say about control issues, who's in charge.
How long the leash is.
How long the leash is. And so those kind of secrets are devastating when all of a sudden they hit the light of day.
KINS, News and Information Times 3:30. We'll be back with more from Luke Wimby.
Decade of Difference presents a brand new competition, Innovate, a business challenge opportunity to pitch your creative idea. First step, upload a 60 to 90 second elevator pitch highlighting your business venture idea by March 29th. 40 finalists will be selected to move on to phase two. But don't wait. First 100 entries receive a free iTunes gift card. To upload your video and get more information, visit decadeofdifference.org. A grand prize of up to $2,500 will be awarded. Don't wait. Innovate.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:35. And 24 seconds. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Luke Wimby. See, we got the big, big clock over there, we can tell these things.
Oh, you got a big new clock now.
Yeah.
Cool.
Rumor is it might even be on time.
That's possible.
Yeah.
Possible.
Luke, so some of the
motivation is internal, like a change and resistance. That's all internal. So if people don't examine their internal stuff, then they're driven by habit.
Just routine.
Routine and habit, yeah. I've always done it that way. Well, my mother taught me to do dishes this way. Well, if you got two people to do dishes differently, is that a problem? Depends. One uses soap, one does not. Oops.
Yeah. Yeah, one uses dog tongue, one uses the wash machine. Yeah.
Right, dog tongue and
yeah.
Rinse.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a problem.
Yeah, don't go over for dinner.
Right.
Oh. So is internal motivation a hardwired or is it a learned?
Yes. Well, there's lots of internal things that are hardwired. Food, clothing, comfort, temperature, affection. A lot of those things are hardwired. But then kids learn a value system about what could be, should be, would be, and what is valuable to work for, go for. Then they learn things like restraining their impulse in order to get along with the kids at school playground, which is a value, getting along with people socially, right? So they have to restrain their behavior, and instead of being acquiring all the time, they got to be cooperative. So they learn to share things like the baseball, the bat, and the glove, and the home plate. And then pretty soon kids start playing sandlot baseball around the neighborhood, and somebody brings a bat, somebody a ball, somebody blah, 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 and they all cooperate. And then somebody gets their feelings hurt, and they take the bat, and they go home. Oops. Now you have to look at, are feelings more important than cooperation to play the game on Saturday? And then you start looking at, well, let's see, do we placate the kid or we just get another kid with a bat? Maybe the kid with a bat is exploiting people by threats. You know, if you guys don't do it my way, I'll take my bat and go home. And somebody goes, bye-bye. And they get another bat or they use a stick or they play football instead of baseball. Options, right? So some people are willing to be blackmailed just in order to maintain the semblance of cooperation. That is to say, we're all here playing ball. We don't like it, but we're all here. Okay. Other people are going, no, I don't roll that way. Either you cooperate or we'll do something else. And those are the people then that learn to run their own business and hire people that want to pay attention to their job descriptions. And if somebody doesn't want to behave, they want to blackmail, then they allow them to leave. They allow them a new opportunity in a different venue. Bill, I'm going to turn you loose here because I think you need the opportunity of a new job someplace else. What? I need the opportunity of a new job? Yeah, I'm firing your lazy butt because you don't do what you're told. So maybe a new job would help you learn about doing what you're told when you have a job description. So lots of people get into jobs that have a job description, then they proceed to mess around with the job description because the phrase is, don't tell me what to do. Well, if you have don't tell me what to do
rebellious on the, child?
Yeah. If you have don't tell me what to do on the inside, and yes or no, sir, certainly, sir, on the outside, that's a really bad combination because that's going to blow up pretty quick. So employers work at finding that out as early as possible, and sometimes they just got to wait and find it out the hard way. That's why some people don't like embedded jobs, but only jobs that operate at the pleasure of the employer. What do they call that?
At will.
At will, yes. You're an at-will employee.
Funny how I knew that one, huh?
Yeah, right. Yeah. You're an at-will employee, and if you do at-won't, you don't work here.
Yeah.
For every will, there's an equal and opposite won't. Just depends on how people manage the wants, right?
So internal motivation or self-motivation, there's a component of learned or script or...
It's a number of both things, like don't tell me what to do. Part of that has to do with a well-established identity of I'm the one in charge, I'll take care of this, don't tell me what to do, I'm my own person. Well, those kind of people are tough to work with because there's very little cooperation at the psychological level. It's always loners doing that.
Now, is the same parallel?
If you get married to them.
Tell me what to do and I'll handle it for you. Is that running parallel?
Tell me what to do. I mean, tell me what to do about
what you need to be done
within my job description.
Give me the tools, boom, I'll take care of it.
Right.
Versus don't tell me what to do, I'll get it done.
Oh, no. Don't tell me what to do is a power struggle, person-to-person power struggle. Tell me what the job description is, and if I hire on to do the job description, you got a good performer. That's fine. They're doing the job description. That's not psychological competition. The don't tell me what to do on the inside is psychological competition, and that comes from the identity of I am my own person. I don't depend on anybody else. Well, get married to that. Now what happens? And it's just constant tension because there's no we. There's no cooperation to speak of. So you got to have cooperation in a marriage, and you also have to have cooperation in employment circumstances. People have to understand each other. And the middle ground for that is what the job description is. So I've worked with businesses and nonprofits that do not have job descriptions. And they complain about all the manipulation that goes on. Well, duh. If you don't have a job description, which is the middle ground between employer and employee, if you don't have a job description, then the place is wide open for anger, blame, and criticism. Well, you never told me. Oops. Yes, I did. When? Last week. I don't remember that. Oh, dear. See, job descriptions are written down on paper. Right.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:43. We're going to a commercial break. We'll be back with more from Luke.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Which he did nicely.
Everybody does things nicely around here. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:47. Couple final minutes with Mr. Quimby.
Actually, it's 3:46 and 37, 38, 39.
Good. Glad
40,
to see the literal part
41.
Of the brain is still functional.
Yeah, the left brain is cooking, baby. Left brain is cooking. You know, that's an old Chinese expression, too. The way in is the way out. And if people got a good left brain and not much right brain, then left brain is the way into the right brain. And what I learned the other day was if people don't have much left brain but only a right brain, that's the way into the left brain. And so I got that script wire cut, which is nice.
Pretty
so you work
exhausting
with what you have.
To go that route,
well,
isn't it?
My resistance to it was exhausting, and now that I've given up the resistance, it's not hard anymore.
Okay.
That's a fact.
I'm thinking working with this, a bunch of folks who might have that left brain, right brain, operating solely, so you got to...
Right.
You can understand why personnel and supervisors are very labor-intensive.
Oh, yeah.
Mentally
so. Oh, yeah.
So.
Well, that's part of the difficulty with training, too. When I my own personal resistance... for 47 years, finally got cut because I gave up the resistance to it. And my resistance was taking it as a personal affront. And there's nothing personal about it. Same thing with employer-employee. It's not personal.
That, so, I would imagine, at least for me, seems to be much more challenging.
It is challenging.
Because you want to have the empathy or the projection and
which
sympathy
is,
and
empathy
all these.
And sympathy often will get you a nickel. And that's often it's emotions.
That's not, just when you start with a quarter.
Not well spent is because people confuse defining the problem with the symptoms. So a lot of people throw empathy and sympathy at symptoms without defining what the problem is. And if the problem is don't tell me what to do, it matters not how empathic or sympathetic you are because it's just not going to go anywhere except in the dumper.
You know what I mean by that? Yeah, yeah.
Because if people said, don't tell me what to do, they will quite happily manipulate around it. Your empathy, your sympathy, your willingness to go the extra quarter mile. They'll beat you up with it. Right. Yeah.
Is that part of the learned skill set for managerial?
Oh, yes.
Is how right. to and then nip you, that at the bud?
Yeah. There's how to deal with difficult people workshops all over the joint. You know, there's one coming here. In June, I think, at the Red Lion or somewhere. But, you know, that sort of thing. And then that gives managers a different insight about some of the mechanics of dealing with difficult people. But the managers can apply those mechanics and get pretty good results doing it piece by piece. But they still have to pay attention to their piece of it.
Everybody's
got a piece. And they don't always get that at the workshop.
Thanks for coming by.
It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, we got our new toy here.
Love that toy.
We've been Talking Shop with Luke Quimby. Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out making a good day. Excellent love. See you tomorrow morning.